house on Friday, and thanks to the suit helping us find, the Lord just let us do it. I knew when I drive by the house, I said, man, that's the house. And I got out and looked, and I said, Lord, this is the house, isn't it? And everything just worked out for us. We were able to close on it pretty quickly on Friday. I think we were in the lawyer's office for all 10 minutes, if that. Signed in a couple of places, and it was done. And, you know, we just got to, you know, pray some money in to help with the upgrades and some, you know, some stuff that needs to be fixed. But we're looking, hopefully, Lord willing, of course, we want to keep it in God's will, to have that open either by the end of the year or maybe January, have our first lady come in. I was telling Brother Doug, I want to have everything that, not just building-wise, but everything that we need laid out in order on how that house has to be ran. We've been in contact with a man down in South Carolina. It's called the Shepherd's Home. He runs 12 men's homes. And so he's been a huge help. Man, the success they're having in that, brother, is just unbelievable. And guess what they're using? The Bible. Yeah. They're using the Bible because the Bible teaches us life skills. A lot of people, you know, they turn to this and they turn to that, but the Bible is what teaches us. The Bible is what taught me how to be a husband. The Bible is what taught me how to be a father to my children. The Bible is what taught me how to be a Christian in church. You see, the Bible can teach us how to be citizens in this country that we live in. The Bible teaches us those things. And so what are we going to use? We're going to use the Bible. We want to fill them up with the Bible. You know, we want to change them. How do we change our thinking? We change our thinking by the Bible. Okay, why? Because that's what the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says. That Bible is the word of God that's discerning the hearts and the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we need to fill them up with the Bible. So we're going to fill them up with the Bible. And I do thank the Cirillos for the ones out there mowing with a hand mower and such, and then pumping out the basement. It's been shut off for 7 years, and so the basement has some water in it, but I think they got it pretty much pumped out pretty good, and I thank God for that. And so now just keep it in prayer as we move forward. I'm a nervous wreck because I've never done anything like it, and I try to set things in order, and I'm trying to prioritize, you know, what needs to be done first. We do need a floor in the bathroom. The outside one corner needs to definitely have a repair, and a furnace needs to be put in. And so, but in order for the furnace to be put in, because Ms. Sue knows that door is so small, we're going to have to put in a new basement door from the outside, you know, those storm-looking doors. Right. And it's not cheap. Right. But I just looked at the Lord, I said, Lord, you bought a house. Right. Lord, that's it. You bought a house. It's your house, so you know what needs to be done to it. So, and anyway, I don't want to wait, but I thank God for the Cirillos. I thank you for cutting the lawns and pumping things out with the help of Miss Sue, helping us to be able to find that and such. I think it was only on for just a few days. It was only listed recently when we had got it. So, you know, we had to move pretty quickly, and thank God for it. And so we look forward to that. Thank you for your prayers and support for us. If you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, I just want to talk here for a few minutes about some things that are, you know, we know there's a plethora of things missing in America today. We know that there's a lot of things missing even in our Baptist churches. But Doug, I tell you, man, thank God for what God shows you in that Bible that you're able. I enjoy coming here on Sunday school, man. And I enjoy hearing what the Lord has given. We've learned a lot through that, you know, remember, you know, being here for part of that. And now in repentance, what we heard today, man. You know, it said there in Exodus chapter 32, in verses 12 and 14, one was the changing of the ways, but the second one in verse 14 was the changing of the thinking. It showed it both clearly right there, that repentance is more than just one thing. It's two things. You're going to change your mind and your ways.
Yeah.
Okay, and turn ye. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that. And so I'm encouraged, and I thank you for that exhortation this morning in that. And I believe people ought to know what repentance is. We can't go out there and tell people something that we think we know.
Right.
We need to go out there and be sure of what we know. And what can tell us that thing is the Bible can tell us what we ought to know. And a lot of what's going on today is people are leaving the Bible. And if they do have one, they don't listen to it. And that's what we were talking about. Because what happens is years ago, we were taught a certain thing. And we'll read about that thing in our Bible. And it may not be exactly what that book is saying. So now we're questioning the Bible. Well, we ought to say no. You know, the book is off here a little bit. The Bible's right. Amen. And we ought to turn to that Bible and stay in what the Bible's got to say about things. And it'd be a help. And I've just been encouraged from you, Brother Doug, again today. And I thank God for it. It just gets my wheels thinking. It gets me thinking about things, challenging things in my life. Like, man, am I bringing baggage with me? If the Lord showed me something that I had to repent of about a year and a half ago, is that I was trying to steal His glory with my testimony. Brother Doug, the very things that I was doing that hung Jesus Christ on the cross, I was trying to get glory out of. And God showed me that I needed to repent from that. And man, it broke my heart. Godly sorrow, contrition came into my... Look at it. God brought me to repentance through showing me things through that Bible. It brought godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow worketh death, but godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And look, not even after you're saved, people don't think you have to repent. That's a lie. There are things we need to repent of, even as saved Christians. And man, God had to bring me to repentance in some things, and I thank God for a father who would do that. But turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, and here's what it says. It says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with some of your heart. Well, if you have another version, that's what it's going to tell you. But that's not what our Bible says. Our Bible says all of our heart. You know what we'll go out there and we'll do? We'll do a work of the Lord, but we'll do it half-heartedly and call it, well, I just done something for the Lord, and God's looking down that you did. That was pleasing for you, wasn't it? Hey, it says, with all of your heart. With all of your heart. You go, how do you know when you turn with all of your heart? You turn with all of your heart because those things that you used to think of, you no longer think of. Those things and ways that you used to do, you're not doing those anymore. He says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of your heart. God doesn't want us going out there and grabbing a bunch of things that are not of the truth. He wants us to serve in the truth. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth. He's the life. The Bible is the truth. And that's where God wants us to turn with all of our heart. And it says, serve Him with truth with all of your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Isn't that wonderful? We ought to think about the good things that Jesus Christ has done for us. We know He's brought it. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't remember, or maybe God has never brought you to a place. Maybe you never let God bring you to a place to see exactly what you are. Because I tell you, when you realize what you are in God's eyes and consider what He has done and consider where He has brought you from, I'll tell you what right now, you can't easily forget that.
Amen. That's right.
Look, it's not because I was a convict. It's not because I was a criminal. It's not because I was a drug addict. It's not because I was out there being a gang members and going in and out of prison. Look, those are only the outward things of what I was doing. It was those inward things that got. And when I consider what Jesus Christ done for me in spite of that, how good He's been to me. He shouldn't have been good to me. I should have still been dead and going to hell. But I'm going to tell you this right now. When you consider, when you realize what Jesus Christ has done for you, but first you got to get to a place and realize what you are in God's eyes. You see, we think we're just some goody-two-shoes in God's eyes, and we are not. If we were so good, it would not have taken the death of His Son, and not only the death, but from the time He was born and all the way through crucifixion. And not only that, Isaiah 53:10 says that His soul was made an offering for sin. He went and paid that condemnation for us. Why? If we were such good people, then why did it take such a cost for Jesus Christ to die for us? And we don't consider those things. And I'll tell you, if you consider those things, it'll change your mind and your heart about how you see Jesus. You don't want to start making you do? Serve Him in truth. But I tell you one thing, it doesn't do for a lot of people. It opens up with this. He says, only fear the Lord. I want to talk about the fear of the Lord for a little bit. Many people say, well, that just means, the reverence. I'm going to tell you this right now. There are many people sitting in this room who grew up with a father. They had a reverence towards their father, but didn't stop them from doing what they were going to do. No. You knew that you were going to get your butt whooped, but you still went and did it anyway. So we're not talking about that kind of fear.
When you have fear of the Lord, guess what you won't do? What happens is this. We say we get a thought in our mind, and we go, man, that's against the Bible. Do you know that we have to put the fear of God away and go and do that? But I'll tell you, if we live in the fear of the Lord, because that's what he says, only fear the Lord. That's the very first thing that he tells us to do, is that we need to have a fear of God, not just a reverence. Because when you fear God, you won't go out there and do those things. Hey, Dominic, let me just tell you this. It's not always just going out and doing something physically. It's a heart thought. It's an iniquity in our mind that holds us guilty before God. But Miss Amy, guess what? If we have a fear of God, guess what we won't do? He says, only fear the Lord. But I'm telling you today, we are in a generation that has zero fear of God. There are churches out there. Look at churches no longer fear God. And they go out there and live any way they want, think any way they want, bring anything that they want to that church, discredit the Bible as not the Word of God. Why? Because there's no fear of God. You can't serve the Lord in truth and have no fear of God. It's impossible. Well, that's how people are functioning today. You know, the fear of the Lord is a fear of God. It prevents us, it drives us to avoid sin. Do you know if we thought, well, man, if I do that, God's going to be mad at me. But you know what we don't do? We don't even think that. We just go ahead and do it. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is absent in our lives. We've put it away. We've shut it out. We've not considered that thing. We've not pondered that thing. But if we had the fear of the Lord in our lives, it would keep us from those things. You see, that we can reverence God because we know when we reverence God, when we have that respect for Him. But you see, most of the time, when we go out and sin, we lose that respect for God. And that's why we go out there and do it. That's why we think the way we think, because we don't have that reverence towards God at that time. But I'm telling you right now, if we had a reverence and a fear, we would not do it. It would stop us. It would drive us into the place that we don't want to do it. There are many things that I have an absolute fear of God in my life. Look at man, having the fear of God in my life is a good thing. Because there was nothing that I feared. I didn't fear dying. I didn't fear somebody killed me. I didn't fear getting beat up. I didn't fear getting jumped. I didn't fear going to jail and prison. I didn't fear going out there using drugs and alcohol. I didn't fear anything. There was nothing on this planet that I feared. And then God stepped into my life. And He brought a good and healthy fear in my life. And you know what it does to me? Not only do I reverence Him, but I think of Him. I consider what He's done. And that fear comes to me and I go, man, if I do that, I'm going to be under the mighty hand of God. That's not a good place to be, by the way. It's under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because He's going to bring correction. And I'm tired of my backside hurting so much from having to be corrected. It's a reality. But I thank God. Thank God that He does that. I thank God that He gives me that fear to avoid a sin. And to not only to avoid sin, Brother Joe, but the consequences of it. But I just think if people could stop for 1 minute and just stop and think about the consequence of the decision they're about to make. Of that iniquity, of that inward thought, that iniquity is a sin. It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. Look at, like, Jeremiah talks about a partridge. And it lays an egg. There's two things that can happen. Number one, she can sit on that egg and hatch it. Or walk away and let it die. God has given us a picture of sin. The egg is sin. We can either hatch that thing and sit on it and hatch it and go ahead and do what we can do, or we can walk away from that thing and let it die. It's our choice. If we start thinking, that's why it's not odd that it says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Why don't people like to think about God? Because when you think about God, you won't go out there living any way you want. It's when we have a void of the thinking of God. This is why they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Because if they had God in their knowledge, if they kept God in the forefront of their mind, it says that God is not in all their thoughts. So So therefore, what happens? They go out and live anywhere they want. And they come in here and they live anywhere they want. They sit in the church pews and call themselves okay. Void of the fear of God. Void of that. Well, we also know that fear is a reverence towards God, a respect. You know, we ought to look and just know, man, hey, look, Lord, when I go out and do this thing, there is a judgment, there's a chastisement that's going to come upon his children. And if you're not his child, you'll go to eternity in hell and spend all eternity for one sin. Brother, one sin can send somebody to hell for an eternity. Could you imagine going to hell? What are you here for? I lied. Miss Sue, you know how serious lying is to God? That it will take an eternity to pay that price. Yeah. But do we look at it that way? No. You know what? We put levels on sin. Well, you know, he lied. Murder. You know, I mean, murder's up here. Lying is out here. No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's level. Oh, there is no levels in God's eye. Sin is sin. It's the same price. It's the condemnation of hell. It doesn't matter if you murder somebody. It doesn't matter if you murder 1,000 people. Let me just tell you this. You'll be standing in the flames of hell next to Hitler, burning just like he did for telling one white lie. We soothe ourselves thinking, well, that's not so bad. My goodness, it's all bad in God's eyes. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost him his soul going to hell and paying that price. It cost him taking our sin and putting it in the flames of hell and burning them and taking those keys of death and hell and raising again the third day. That's the price of sin.
That's right.
But there's no fear. There's no considering of what Jesus Christ has done. It's a religious game that people play. When I think of what Jesus done for me, man, it blows my mind. But you know what happens, Brother Joe? Not many people think about what Christ has done for them because they think, well, I wasn't that bad. There is no that bad with God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. None. Well, come with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Thank God for his mercy. I said, well, what am I going to preach this? What am I going to preach this week? And I was just reading 1 Samuel there, and the Lord stuck it off to me. I said, man, there it is, Lord. Thank you for giving that to me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, because I believe we, even as Christians, we lose that fear of God. We become desensitized to things in our lives, and we lose that reverence, and we lose that fear of God, and we go about and live our lives, and we don't consider the things of what it cost Christ. We don't consider what those things, the price that he's had to pay, and all of a sudden, our Christianity gets cold, and you know, we begin to feel comfortable being cold. We begin to feel comfortable. Our Bible readings just don't mean so much anymore. But we're okay with that. We're just going to go ahead and keep on and go to church. And we lose all that. We lose sight of every bit of it. And we become comfortable in that. Brother, I just say, God, would you make me uncomfortable? Hey, when I start getting lukewarm, Lord, just start making me uncomfortable. I don't want to be it. I'll go ahead and just bring some conviction to me. I don't know about you. Sunday school brought me under conviction, brother. There's some things in my life that made me think about that I need to change. I'm just telling you today, if you don't sit here and when the word of God is being preached and let God search your heart, you'll never come under conviction. But God wants to bring you there because he's got some things to change in your life.
Amen.
I don't know about anybody else in this building, including my own family. But Doug, when I come to church, I expect God to give me something. I need something for my life. I prepare my heart to come to the church and God, go ahead and give the man, the teacher who's going to teach or preach, give him what I need to hear. I need to hear some things. My life is a wreck, man, without Jesus Christ. And you know what brings it to light? The preaching of the Bible. Man, Doug, the preaching of the Bible. Man, when we talked afterward, you said, using the Bible. Well, Romans chapter 3, look what it says here in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means there's no righteousness out there. Hey, Mother Mary Teresa, whatever they call her, she didn't get to heaven by her work. Matter of fact, we probably are not going to see her in heaven. That's a true fact. Why? Because all she did was live for her works. Oh, isn't she just good this and ain't she just good that? Man, I know a 100-year-old lady who has no salvation testimony whatsoever. Here's her salvation testimony. I've always grown up in church. Well, when did you get saved? I've just always grown up in church. My goodness, she's the sweetest lady on the planet. But you know what the sad fact is? That she may just be in the flames of hell when I see her. And it would be a sad thing to see that old sweet lady sitting in the flames of hell. Why? Because there's none righteous. There's none good. No, not one. Even that sweet old lady had bust hell wide open trying to work her way to heaven just because she sat in a church pew for her entire life. You go, is God that cruel? He's righteous and he's holy. He's a holy God. And he's going to uphold his standards and his laws and his statutes. And you know what that means? That she has a sin nature just like everybody else. Doesn't matter how sweet she is. God's holy and he's righteous and he's going to hold this up.
Yeah.
Above all things. But you know what? He wants to work and work, and he's probably been trying to work and work in her life for years, but she's been blinded by her goodness. People are blinded by their righteousness, their self-righteousness. They're blinded by their goodness. Well, I'm a good law-abiding, tax-paying citizen. That don't get you into heaven. Well, I go to church. I pray my rosary and splash holy water all over the place and blah, blah, blah. That don't get you nowhere. There's no brownie points to earn with God. Look at it says here in verse 11. There's none that understands. What do you mean? Because God's got to give you the understanding. When we start coming to God, we don't have an understanding. God starts opening our understanding. How does he do that? He takes that Bible and he takes the word of God and the preaching of it. And he starts opening our understandings. And we start seeing those things. And you know what it does? It creates a thirst in us. Or it should create a thirst in you. I know when God started opening my understanding of things, I wanted more of it. I wanted to see what this thing meant. I wanted to see where this thing was going to lead me to. And let me tell you, Autumn, you know where it led me to? It led me to the foot of Calvary. It led me to Jesus Christ when he opened up my understanding. That's where it led me to for what? To get saved, to be born again. I thank God for why I understood that there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh, none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Why? Because he says, I must be high and lifted up, and I'll draw all men unto myself. And a man has to make that decision. When God starts drawing, that person's got to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Yes, I want to believe, but you know what? I didn't come out of my mother's womb seeking God. But there were other gods, small g's, that I was trying to seek. Other gods out there trying to draw me. But God said, I'll be high lifted up. And I'll draw all men unto myself. And I thank God. You know how he did that, Brother Scott? He sent men and women my way to tell me the gospel. He sent men and women my way to tell me about this Bible. To tell me about this Jesus. And you know what it did to me? It started drawing me to God. He said, I thought you were talking about there's no fear of God. Well, I'm getting there. God just get it. Hey. We can't stop, right? We can't. When God wants to say some stuff, we're just going to stop and say it. I can put my outline up here all day long, but my outline means nothing when the Holy Ghost has got something else to say. Nothing. Verse 11. Verse 12, I'm sorry. They're all, not some, all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And please pray for my mother, because she just doesn't get that. She don't get that whole, she doesn't understand a bit of it. I don't know what's blocking her. I don't know what's blocking her from understanding it. She just cannot get that. She cannot understand. She has been baptized 5 times and she said, I've been saved 5 times. And no matter how much I bring her to the scriptures and show her and plead, God help my mother to see, she just cannot see. I've never seen anything like it where a person cannot understand it like that. She's not an idiot. My mother's not stupid. I have no clue. I always ask people, tell me, how else can I do it? And I'm not preaching and cramming and ramming. I'm just teaching nicely with a calm and gentle voice and trying to just show her, and she just cannot do it. Man, it blows my mind. I'm like, what in the world? So pray for my mother on that. My God, that she would at least see that, and maybe that would help. Verse 13, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. And it says, with their tongues they have used the seed, and the poison of asps are under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the peace of and the way of peace they have not known. Why? 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 Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. These are people who are living without fear of God. They say, man, I fear God, and then they go out there and live any way they want. There's zero fear of God. I don't know how many churches we've been in, Brother Doug, in the last 3 years, but it's been a lot. Right. And one thing that I can tell you, Brother Scott, there is a disease running rampant in church pews, and that is the lack of the fear of God. Men and women no longer have a fear of God in any way, shape, or form. It's a wonder why they're out there living. Look at, man, churches are closing across the United States so rapidly. Why is that? Because men have lost the fear of God. You know, back in the days in the 30s and 40s and 50s and so on, man, them men preached, but you know what they preached with? A fear of God. They preached with the fear of God, knowing what could happen. They knew what sin could bring, and they understood these things, and these men got in these Bibles, and they started, look, they didn't have everything perfect, but one thing they had is a fear of God. One thing they had is a love for the Word of God and preach it. But today it's void out there. People aren't even afraid to change what the Bible has to say. They'll go out there and rearrange it any way they want. They make it say whatever they want, and they have no fear of God by changing His Bible. None. I've never seen a lack of fear in my life up until this day and age, but we are really able to see in church age. I get that. But that doesn't mean we have to be there.
Right.
Well, they don't have any fear of the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. There's no fear of the Lord in their eyes. There's no fear in their hearts. Many, many of them are sitting in church houses today with zero fear. And they'll go out there and live. They'll go out there and make decisions. They'll go out there and live their life any way they want. Not praying, God, should I make this decision? God, should we do this? And God should, you know, I'm very particular on trying not to make decisions or live my life without having God in the forefront of my thoughts. I want God to be there. I want Him to instruct me and show me. But there are people who just don't even live their life that way and call themselves a Christian. Why? They have zero fear. They could care less if they ever ask God anything. Don't care. Go ahead and live your life any way you want. Yeah, God, you know, God, now I finally need you because my health is shot. My bank account's running out. That's when they want God. I want God all the time. What I began to do is I get up at 4 a.m., which is pretty much my usual. Saturdays I sleep in. But I get up at 4 a.m. When I get up, I read my Bible. I listen to Tim McVeigh's podcast. And then I listen to an hour's worth of preaching. I'm getting about 3.5 to 4 hours of me and God in the morning. Just me and them by myself. And then I pray. Why? Because that's how much I want God in my life. I want Him to give me directions. Hey, I'm getting ready to open a ladies' home. I don't want to do what I want. I don't want to run something. Because when I run stuff, Doug, it ruins it. How serious are you about your walk with Christ? If you get anything out of hearing repentance this morning, and then what God is saying here, how serious are you really about your walk with Christ? Where is He in your thoughts? Where is He in your life? Are you including God in anything in your life? Does it matter anywhere at any point in time in your life to have God in it? Decisions. Jobs. Should I work for myself? Should I stay with Tim Hortons? These are serious things. Should I go back to diesel? Should I go get my GED? Should I take this? Should I do that? We no longer do that with God. We just make decisions, and if it works, great, thank you, Lord. If it don't work, why'd you do that, Lord? Why? Because we've lost zero fear in our life and including him in anything. He gave everything so that we can have everything, yet we include him in nothing. Well, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, look what it says here. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Look what it says there, the froward mouth do I hate. God hates it. What is a froward mouth? Somebody that's got a perverse mouth. Somebody's mouth who can't be controlled. Think they know everything when they actually know nothing. It's froward. Well, you know, hey, the Bible says this. Well, look, let me say, the Bible can say all it wants, but this is what we really ought to do. It's a froward mouth. God hates that. You know what else he hates? Evil, pride, and arrogancy. Oh, bubbleheads. You young men, you get bubbleheads. That's that pride and arrogancy that gets in your life. Like you're going to just run everything. And guess what God has to come along and do? He's got to bust that bubble. But you know what? The fear of the Lord will keep that from you. Dominic, God says if you keep the fear of the Lord in the forefront of your mind and your heart, you won't have to worry about pride and arrogancy. Because it's going to creep in. You got, how do you know that? Because I got a son that went to college, got exposed to the world. You say, how is he stopping it? Well, there's a lot of conversations that had to happen. A lot of bubble busting that God had to do with my son. A lot of things that God had to do to humble him. You better have a perfect, not perfect. But you know what? That's why I was there, Brother Doug. Because God gave me instructions for my son. You ask him. If I don't stop him, Miss Sue, and say, how's your spiritual life, Luke? How many times do you think you hear that from me, Luke? How's your prayer, Luke? How's your Bible reading? You better put God in the forefront. And Luke said, Dad, I made a decision. I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every single morning and read my Bible before I go to Hawaii. Why is he doing that? Why in the world is he so crazy to do that, Brother Scott? Because he's not crazy, but he wants God to lead his life. When he goes out there and is exposed to the world and is exposed to filth, ask him, Dominic, how many times somebody's come up to him and shown him pornography? Call him a faggot because he won't look at it. Call him and Shane gay because he won't, or Zane, because they won't look at it. Call him homosexuals. Call him a little faggot because he won't look at some man or some woman doing disgusting, filthy things. That's what the world exposed him to. Now, if he goes to that college without God in the forefront of his mind, just what do you think is going to happen? You go, your son has a phone. We have protection on that phone. We pay money every single month to have him protected from pornography. And do we check your phones, Luke? Is your phone or anything allowed in your room electronically? No, it is not. If I find it in there, I'm going to kick it out. Well, he's almost 20 years old. He lives in my house. You live in my house, it's my rules. You'll come to church when you got to come to church. I don't play them games. Do I play them games on with you? No, I do not. Why? Because I want them to know, not the fear of Dad, but the fear of the Lord. I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Proverbs chapter 14. Forward mouth, that one that can't be controlled. God hates that. He's not happy with that. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 2. He that walketh in uprightness. What is uprightness? One who's sincere and honest. It said, he that walketh in uprightness, what? Fear the Lord. You want to know why you're a liar? Because you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. You know why? Because you're not walking in the uprightness. That's what it is. People are liars. Why? Brother, I don't think I've ever been lied so much, sister, as people lie to me in church. You go, how do you know that? Because they come up to me, give me a hug, tell me, man, that was a great sermon, and stab me in my back. Just come and tell me you didn't like it. I'm okay with that. I'm all right with you being honest with me. It won't break my heart. It won't make me stop doing what I do. But I've never in my life seen people have no fear of God whatsoever in their life in the house of God. Zero fear in their life. And they don't walk in their uprightness. And they are nothing but liars, and they're filthy. How about this, Sister Teresa? Do you know how many men I have to fight off that are preachers off my wife? In the house of God. Why? Because they have no fear of God. Zero fear of God in their life. And they'll come after my wife. And I've got to stand there and protect my wife from men. And I'm talking about pastors. I can name pastors right now that I have to do that for. Pastors of a church. Why? Because there's no fear. I'm not even talking about the people sitting in the pews. Autumn, how many times do you have to come stand there, Daddy? Because I'm trying to protect you from a pervert. In church, you go, you're lying. Am I lying? No, I'm not lying. I tell you the truth. I've got no reason to lie to you. But I'm telling you what's going on in the church. And you need to think, you think that I believe these people have a fear of the Lord? It's a reality. I got to protect my son from who? Filthy, rotten pastors' girls sitting there with their skirts all the way up so they can see everything. And I got to protect my son not to look in their direction because he's trying to show his panties. And that's a pastor's daughter. Go marry that filth bag. That's a reality. You know why, sister? There's no more fear of God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine back in your days that kind of stuff going on? But that's what's going on in our churches across America. Why? Because people don't care about God anymore. They don't have a fear of God anymore. They don't care about what God has to say in this book. And so they go out there and do whatever they want, live whatever they want. And I watch these men and these young boys and girls destroy themselves. Well, he's a Christian. I guess I can marry him. Well, she's a Christian. I should marry her. And you know what? They end up hating each other. Once he starts running babies through her, she hates being a mother. She hates being a wife. She can't believe that she ever thought that she wanted that. You know what one of my prayers is? I say, Lord, would you help my little girl? Not just say that she wants to be a mother. Not just say that she wants to be a wife. I don't want that to be done with lip service. I don't want some man to marry her thinking that she wants to be a wife and a mother, and she doesn't end up wanting to be a wife. I don't want that for my daughter. She might as well just stay single. The poor man that would marry something like that. But that's what's going on. And I'm watching the young people, Miss Sue, destroy themselves. And the man, wonder why divorce is so prevalent in churches today. There's no fear of God. We'll just go get divorced. We'll just go get divorced. There's no, maybe we ought to get to God and try to work this thing out and get back together. There's none of that today. I understand some divorces happen. I'm not saying all divorces. Please don't quote me for saying all divorces are like that. But I'm telling you what, when it's for nothing and it can be worked out, it should be. We ought, but there's no fear. That woman, that man, whoever's at fault, had no fear of God and just made a decision out of haste and went and done what they did. Lack of fear. I need 5 more minutes and we'll be out of here. Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103, and then we'll be out of here. I want you to take this with all seriousness, friends, my friends, please. Take this with all seriousness. This is what's being said here today. You know, search your life. Find out, where do you stand with the fear of the Lord? Where's your fear of the Lord? I'm just going to read one verse before I get over there. Job 28:28 says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? That is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Mm-hmm. You know why young men and women aren't doing that anymore? They have no fear of the Lord. There's no understanding, there's no wisdom, because they lack the fear of the Lord. Is it all their fault? It's our fault in the church house. But as a parent, it's our fault. We've not taught them the fear and the reverence of the Lord. We've not gone and taught them, hey, look, this is what's going to happen if you repent and go in the wrong direction. This is what's going to happen. This is what God's going to do. This is what's going to be your life. This is what's going to be your outcome. We've totally stopped doing that for the young people. Here's what we do. Brother Joe, because our children have grown up in church, we just have this mindset that they're automatically just going to pick up on things and go ahead and be able to run their own life. May I say that our children still have a sin nature? And they still need direction from their parents up until they get out of the house, and then you know what my son and daughter can do? They can come to me anytime. My son said this, going to be 20 years old, Dominic. You know what he said? He said, Dad, the Bible says that a man should not leave his home until he's married. He goes, therefore, I'm staying here. Do you think that I'm not okay with that? Perfectly fine with that. Oh, here we go. Psalm 103, verse 11. Look what it says. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his, we talked about this morning, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. God knows we're still going to make mistakes. God knows that we're going to put his fear, we're going to put that fear aside, Miss Sue, and go out there and make a decision, or go out there and get into a sin, or go out there and do something that we should not. We're going to go ahead and we have to absolutely move God's fear out of the way to go and make that decision. But God knows us as human beings that if we do, his mercy will be there to those that fear him. He'll have mercy upon those that fear him. Though they made that mistake, though they moved God's fear away from them, he says, I'll still have mercy. Thank God for them. Doesn't that make you want to do things differently? That makes us not want to make those decisions. It makes us not want to go in that direction because he's merciful to us. Just because God's merciful to me doesn't mean make me want to go out and do it more. God's mercy. You know what a lot of people don't recognize is that God's mercy will change your life. When you realize God's mercy, you no longer want to hurt him. You want to live the best that you can. And look at it. You want to have that reverence. You want to have that respect for him. You want to know that he's a God of chastisement and judgment. And it makes you want to go that way, not run from him. I don't want God to always have to use mercy on me because I'm a rebel.
Right.
I don't want to re-crucify Christ every time I do something wrong. Just because he paid for my sins, past, present, and future, does not mean I'm going to go out there and hurt him. But those, I have much more, but those who have lost the fear of God don't have any problem going out and doing those things against God and making those decisions. Where's the fear in your life, God? Where's that reverence that you have? Do you have that reverence? If you don't, ask God to help you have that. My goodness, it'll help you stay in line. It'll help you keep on track. And start with God and consider those things. Consider how good he's been to you. There are many people who have left church since I've been coming to church. And I've never once, Dominic, listen to me, you guys. There are people who left church, and I considered this. Because they left church, should I? How old are you? Yes.
17. 20.
You're going to be 20 here soon, right?
This week.
You had two brothers leave your dad's house. You ever considered leaving? If you did, you're a fool. You lost your fear of God. What's happened? You stayed. You stay there. You know why? You're getting the preaching. You're getting the love that you need. You're getting exactly everything that God has for you. But if you ever lose the fear of God, you'll look at your two brothers and go, well, they did it, so I'm going. God forbid. God forbid. There are so many people that are out there praying for you, man. There's so many people that are out there praying for Giovanni and your brother. Why? Because they want them to come back. They want them to come in the house of God. They want them to sit here. Why? Because they've lost their fear of God. God forbid if you get yourself tangled up in that. God forbid, because I saw people leave church, that I'll follow them It's always greener on the other side, my friends. But when we lose that sight, when we lose that fear, that we're so easy to go there. And I'm done. Thank you, guys.